Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He loves us, and He has all great, His best intentions towards us. The last broadcast, we talked about how the work of God originates from the heart of God. And He thinks of everything, every part, the person to give people, the person He wants to use, He has evaluated everything. And when he draws a conclusion and gives us an instruction, trust me, it's very well thought out. And you're going to love it. Now, the beginning part is revealed, and joy comes with it. That's the expectation of what's going to happen. Sometimes He'll show you a vision of what will happen, and sometimes He'll just guide you to do something. Most of the times He just guides you to do something. Now, I talked about what happened to me years ago. He gave me a lot of revelation. I wrote a lot of written words. I would have called them poems, but they were more than poems. I wrote what God gave me, and it would be usually a one-page writing that was basically a teaching, and it would be done in the form of a poem. Sometimes it rhymed, most of the time it didn't, and they were different. My mother said they were sermons, but that's about the closest thing to it. And the Lord called them living letters because it was, instead of that writing would come under prophetic utterance and sometimes a word of wisdom. That would be the spiritual gift behind it. But instead of speaking it, I wrote it down. And I'm going to tell you why that it come under that anointing or that gift. The spiritual gift of prophetic utterance enabled me to write like that. Instead of speaking it, I wrote it down. And in these days, the Lord gave me a lot of revelation that I couldn't put on paper. And some of it will have to be explained. You know, the paper did good. It did what it was supposed to do. It was anointed speech, and I've got great testimonies from it because it was a handiwork of God. That didn't come from Thurston. The Lord knew what people needed, and He used me as a vessel. I put it this way. I told people all the time, I see myself as an inkjet printer. The Lord give me what to write, I write it down. And then I look at it and learn from it myself. That's the power of your anointing, your gift from God. Now, spiritual gifts, they aid your anointing. They're there to help you do and perform what God has given you to do. Now, the Lord never asked us to originate a plan and execute it. He didn't say, come up with something to do and then go do it and win souls. That won't work because we don't know what to say. We don't know what to do of ourselves. Now, even though God has anointed me to minister, He can use me to minister to many people that want to know Him. And when the anointing come on me, it's so easy for me to minister. But in my everyday life, witnessing to people and teaching them about God, aside from the anointing, just as a believer, I have the same challenges anybody would. How do you start the conversation? What do you do? We can always 100% of the time preach by living the Word of God, and that's very effective. But people's souls are so precious. I don't bombard them. I wait, you know, and I, uh, I, I, I look for God to give me opportunities. There are times that I can say things and it'll mean more to people than if I just walked up to them and started a conversation. You don't know what they're going through and how they'll receive at that time. You know, if the Lord give me revelation, and my wife's having a hard day, she may not be in the best mood, or she may not, you know, something may be bothering her. I wait till she's at peace before I give her the revelation. And that's called wisdom. You don't just attack people with the word. But when people are ready, then they're receiving. And we're here to represent the kindness and love of God as well as minister the gospel. But I wanted to share, I knew the problems that people go through. And I wanted to give them all the information I could to help them not only survive this world, but thrive in life. But I didn't have a vehicle to get the word out. And I mentioned before how in other broadcasts, how Live and Letter Ministries got started. The Lord gave me this writing called Coming to Life. And it came just like a message would, just like a sermon would. And I ran and got my notebook and wrote it down. And I started about number 8, because thoughts kept coming. And I couldn't write the first 8 because he was still giving me other things. So I gave myself a margin and started at number 8 and just kept going on down. And then when he finished, when it stopped, then he gave me the first 8, I mean the first 7 things, and I wrote them down. And then he gave me the title called Coming to Life, and it pertains, things pertain to coming to life. Well, it was in my notebook for months, and or at least weeks. And I let a guy at an alternator shop, Dennis Morgan, he ran our Eastern Alternator and Starter back then. That was his business. And I showed it to him in my notebook. And he said, man, have this typed and make me a copy of this. So I did. I went and went to Office Depot and made 100 copies. Had it typed, went to Office Depot, made 100 copies. And then I turned around and I gave him one. And my uncle died the same week that I had it typed up and printed. And I gave my cousin one, Wayne Griffith, and he said, man, this will bless the family. Give everybody one. And I did. Well, then when that happened, the Lord gave me another writing. And another writing. And I kept passing them out, and he kept giving me writings. And that was a time he gave me something every day. And that was just a fraction of the revelation he was giving me all the time. But I didn't have a pulpit. I didn't have a vehicle to get the word out. And I'm full of the word of God. And it's frustrating to know something, that to have something people need and can't get it out. And I believe the Lord let me see how valuable, you know, I valued a vehicle to minister the word much greater afterwards. Because I saw a need. And then in my neighborhood, around 94, the Lord gave me an assignment. And it was called the Good News Letter. And I would write it. It would be 1 page. I'd write it out. And I'd make 1,000 copies and pass them out. And it took me a month. I'd do 250 addresses every weekend, usually every Sunday, until I finished. And I started, I lived in the Kingston Woodlawn Eastview neighborhood. And I would start at the houses nearest to the Holiday Inn. And I would pass out those flyers all the way down to Stockham Valve. It was still open in those days. And there were houses down there. I did it by foot. I did it for a year until I moved in 96. And now I got started late. I was going to mail them out. And somebody said, why don't you just pass them out? So about 6 months went by. I actually started late. And I learned when God say do something, do it then. And it's better. And when as I passed out those newsletters, the duration of time that I passed out newsletters, all the gunfights stopped. They stopped having gunfights in the neighborhood. And I associated it with the time frame because that's when it happened. And I'm like, man, I didn't know that this would happen. The devil was still there, but he was arrested. And I saw what the anointing could do. It could do what I can't. And it's like God gave the neighborhood quietness and peace. As long as I was passing them newsletters out. Now, God loves us. It showed me the power of the. Now I'm really stoked. I'm motivated. And I still didn't have the vehicle I wanted to get the revelation out. And one day I was laying across the bed and I didn't have a name for that for the ministry yet. But I was laying across the bed one day and the Lord said, "Live and Letter Ministries." And I knew what to do when he said it. I knew that he wanted me to make copies and get people's addresses and church addresses and send it to them. So I started Living Letter Ministries. Now, writing the word is not new. That's something that have been done since Moses. And Apostle Paul wrote letters. Peter wrote letters. Jude wrote letters. James wrote letters. And others wrote letters that we don't even have. John wrote Revelation. So the Lord gave me words to write to encourage his people, to show people his truth. Now this is something else that will happen. I would give people the letters and they'd put them somewhere and one day they'll be moving things around or cleaning up and they'd find it and read it and it would bless them all over again. And many people told me that's exactly what happened. They'll be looking around and they'll see that word and then they'll read it and be blessed again. So the word of God is timeless. So what you do under the anointing is very important. Never underestimate what God can do through even you. And see, we don't always know how powerful a move of God can be even through us. But God can do mighty things through one person. Now, like we said yesterday, when God do something, it's not big. It doesn't look fantastic. I was just a guy passing out papers. Preachers are just people who are speaking behind a pulpit. It's the anointing. It's the wisdom that God has put in their mouth that makes the difference. It's timeless. It hits the spot. That can't come from the wisdom of man. It's impossible. That comes from the heart of God. Knowing what to do, when to do it, that's of God. God knows how to minister to people. Even the most anointed preachers, they don't always know what to do. They just do what God tells them to do, and it works. They be just as surprised as everybody else. You don't even get used to it. If you're on fire for God, you do not get used to the hand and work of God and his people and the things he do in your life. You expect it, you cooperate, but you don't know the wonderful things that's going to happen. You know, my pastor saw a man lay hands on a man that had a short leg and the leg grew to the length of the other leg. And right before his eyes, a creative miracle before his eyes. The man's leg was extended and he saw it with his eyes. And the man that prayed didn't, you know, we operate in obedience. And we trust God because he did good last time, he'll do good this time. So we act on our faith. It's as simple as that. He never asked us to originate nothing. So when God sanctions something and set people apart, like we said in yesterday's broadcast, nobody can approve it, disapprove it. I mean, nobody can judge the handiwork of God that He puts in your heart. I mean, not accurately. Now, under the anointing, they'll tag it. They'll encourage you, but they're speaking under the anointing. But out of their mind, no. I can't say anything that'll hit the spot out of my own mind, unless I repeat something that I said under the anointing. And if I do that, I'm still speaking by the anointing. So when we speak under the anointing, it's perfect speech. When it's just thirsting without the anointing, it's not perfect. Don't trust that. I mean, not the same as you would anointed speech. Now, when anybody speaks under the anointing, it's detectable. And never have respect of persons, and don't disqualify anointed speech just because who God used. He may use somebody you didn't expect or approve of, but the anointing is approved already. All right, let's look at it this way. If I speak under the anointing, the Lord is using me to get a message over. Just like your telephone. Your telephone may make you angry. It may not work half the time. But let's say somebody on the other end say something. They give you good news that you really need. Now, you wouldn't throw out that message because you're mad at your telephone, would you? The telephone did its job. It worked that time. It didn't phase out. And you heard what was spoken. You may still be mad at the telephone, but the anointing was good. Or the message came through and you were able to hear it. Now, what's the difference when God uses people? If they happen to speak under the anointing and you say, well, that ain't going to do it because their life ain't perfect. Now you're going to lose. God used them. He was able to use them that time for a purpose. Even though their life may not be picture perfect, they did their job then. And that'll be good for them. That'll put spiritual wealth in their account. And maybe God can straighten them out about whatever their problem is. But people, they think it's all right to ignore God's word because they don't like the person that spoke it. And it doesn't work that way. The Lord already said it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. If you're on the side of the road and your mechanic tell you the simple a simple fix so that you can make it home, you say, well, I ain't gonna listen because my telephone made me mad. You'll be on the side of the road waiting on the tow truck all day long. Now, what about, he told you what to do. You heard it. It's easy information. It's easy to be received because that's one thing all of God's word has in common. Anointed speech is detectable. Sometimes people get offended because a younger person said it. Or a person of another race said it. Or their little brother said it. Or somebody who was not as far along as they was in ministry said it. My best suggestion, get rid of respect to person. You got to look at him. When I look at him, I hear things. When I'm looking to the Lord, my eye is single. My whole body is full of light. And I detect his words coming through people. And sometimes the key things that I really need come from people that are not even preachers. They're just people that are speaking by the anointing or by the unction of God. They may not even have received a calling yet. But any Christian can speak God's word. It's a good thing. It's a treasure. The word said that, you know, we're vessels. We're treasures that God put his anointing in us, and we carry it. Sometimes the only people God can find at the time are people who they might be struggling, but they love Him, and God is able to use them to help us when we need help. Especially if they're under your ministry, they hear things and they hear your word, and people grow without you. Can't see the growth that people have. People change, people grow, people go forward. They hear. And God is working with all of us. So the telephone don't have to be perfect. I can, even if it makes me upset, it's still useful. If I still carry, it still got some use to it. So what's the difference with people that Jesus washed in His blood? And people don't get everything, you know, they don't grow at the same rate. Some people gonna take a while. But I look at Him. Fear looks to man. And pride looks within. I can do it. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. Now, pride looks within. But faith looks to God. And that's the best way to do this thing. When you're in faith, you can cooperate with Him. He has something to say, and you want to hear His word. You delight in His word. Now, God loves us, and His cassette, His mercy, endures forever. He loves us. Now, Brother Harden explains what cassette is. It's more than just mercy. But the word mercy is a translation of the Hebrew word cassette. And I just thank God that He cares about us. He watches over us. He has responsibility towards us. He cares about us. And I thank Him for it. The Lord is returning soon. The work of God is short. So whatever He give you to do, work it. Hold on to the flame that God has given you. His insight comes to us as a charge. Keep it alive and use it in full confidence, because He cares about us. And His mercy is rich toward us. His chesed is rich towards us. And never be surprised at what God can do in your life. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life and answer all your concerns. Till next time, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.